Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. 7 p.m. East Coast time. And you know what place this is. It's the No Chaser. I am your co-host, JT. And of course, the man with the plan, Mr. No Chaser, No BS, Mac Williams. Welcome, Mac.
What's up, Jerry? What's up? What's up, all you No Chaser fans? I appreciate you tuning in, those who have, those few or many that have. Want to start off right away saying thanks for stopping in to my co-host, Jerry. Thanks for co-hosting with me today.
Always a pleasure.
We are going to talk about a few things today, but I want to first say if you are, our show is sponsored by Trinity Web Solutions, trinitywebsolutions.org. If you have any of your online needs from website design, website builders, web hosting, WordPress hosting, e-commerce, we have web marketing. We have everything you need for your online business. If you have a business, starting a business, want to do a website, whatever, trinitywebsolutions.org is your place. So please check it out at your leisure. All right, we are here today. We're going to get right into the topics. First topic, Tuesday, June 4th, the Goodman opening day. We're going to start it off and kick it off on Tuesday. We're going to do it on Monday. We're doing it on Tuesday because Monday, it was a 50% chance of rain. Commissioner decided, hey, look, not taking a chance, not even going to waste my time with it, move it to Tuesday. So we moved everything over one day. So Tuesday, please come out to Berry Farms, 7 o'clock. There'll be a girls' AAU game at 5:30. After that, our first game will tip off probably around 7. And then in the second game, there will be a replay of the championship game. My mob, my guys I coach, Lincoln Park, versus the champs, the current champs who took it from us. Funkhouse, very deserving, very worthy champion, and we are going to replay that, and that's going to be a very competitive and intense game. Look forward to coaching it, look forward to being there. Rumor has it that KD may play with Funkhouse. So come out, enjoy the food, enjoy the festivities, but please come out. We would love to see all you guys there who are in the Washington, D.C. area. If you're not in the Washington, D.C. area, you can always dream about it and hear about it second. Anyway, first thing on the docket is last night's Heat game. All I can say is, wow. Pigeon Man is a punk. I mean, he only pushed the guy. You know, we know No Chaser. Let's call it what it is. He only pushed Psycho T because he knew Psycho T's a white boy. He wasn't going to get down like that. He wasn't going to be so quick. He knew he wasn't going to hit him back. You know, in all these playoffs with all the fouls, all the rough play, everything that's been going on, you now all of a sudden want to push somebody. And the funny person you push is the white guy. Why didn't you push one of the black guys that bump you, that block you out? Why don't you run into David West? Why don't you, run into Hill or into Hibbert? You didn't do that. You picked the dude. And if you look at the replays, it wasn't as if Psycho T did. It wasn't as like he did, like he did something to him. He's running down the floor, and he just takes his shoulder and piles it right into him.
Exactly.
And then walks up to him. And then straight pushes him in the chest, and I'm like, dude, and now there's an article, Stern and them have now acknowledged that the shove merited ejection. Now they put it on ESPN. Now it merited, Stern said Andrew Shove merited ejection. But this is what perpetuates the whole idea that the NBA wants the Heat to win. There were a few questionable calls last night that I saw. That was probably the biggest one, you know, no ejection. You know, it is what it is. LeBron woke up in the third. They let him get off. That's fine. You know, but, you know, I don't know what to say anymore. I mean, it's obvious that you know, these guys, you know, they want them to win. But I know one thing. I turned my volume down after the second quarter because I couldn't take it anymore. I almost threw up my dinner, you know, with all the all the verbal oral sex they were giving LeBron James. I'm being serious. It gets
I know you
point,
are. I saw you on Facebook.
The,
I'm saying,
no,
oh man.
But it gets to the point of being nauseating. It's sickening. It's like, dude. I mean, here's my thing. I'm not against. Look, is he a great player? Absolutely. Is he? You know, can he leap out the gym and do all this? That's fine. But I don't need to hear about how great he is every 20 seconds. I don't need to hear that. I mean, come on, man. We old people, we remember, us older, mature people, we remember when it was straight commentating. You told me my stats. You told me the figures. You told me facts about the player. You told me where he was from, fun things about him, what he does charity-wise, blah, 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 blah. You kept it strictly cool. Now,
right. It's
like the news is now. Now it's all about, let me give my opinion. Let me instigate something. Let me instigate a discussion. Let me get Twitter and Facebook buzzing. So let me say something and get it started. And, you know, me personally, I mean, I'm just sick of it. Like, dude, just give me my – can you shut up and just let me watch basketball and let me form my own opinions? Stop trying to influence me to think the same way you do. I don't want to think the same way you do. Just give me my information. Just give it to me. That's all you need to do, you know, and I'm just – it's embarrassing. I'll be honest with you. You saw what I put on the other night. I said, I wonder if these people, seriously, like for real, if any of these people that were commentators, including, well, Shaq's not that bad. Shaq's really not bad because he pretty much says what he says and leaves it alone. Charles Barkley, he just slobbers all over the dude. Kenny follows whatever Charles Barkley says unless he absolutely is just like fervently against it. But Steve Kerr, Reggie Miller, oh, my God, and I absolutely hate when Van Gundy is on. Oh, my goodness, great. He is the most irritating dude in commentating. I really am praying for him to get a coaching job just to take him away from the microphone. Like, dude, you need to go back on the floor where we can't hear you, but in a short little snippet. It's just, it's crazy. I wonder if these people have people at home that go, I mean, if these are one of my fathers, my relatives, I'd be like, dude, like, you need to, like, turn it down. Give a man his props, but, I mean, every 20 seconds, I don't need to hear. I mean, LeBron will drop his mouthpiece and pick it up, and they'll be like, oh, did you see the way LeBron picked up the mouthpiece? That was just incredible. I mean, he just picked it up and shoved it right back in his mouth. Did you see how he did that? I mean, that's amazing. The only person I can compare shoving into their mouth like that is Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant. It's like, come on. Like, it's sickening. It's just embarrassing. I mean, I'm sorry. Out here in the streets, we don't do that. Come on, let's be real. If I'm on a basketball court with another dude, I might say, you know what, he can play. He can, you know, he can get down. You know, he can jump out the gym and give him a play. But every 20 seconds, I ain't talking about this dude because you know what people will say about you. What do they say?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Get off his. Okay. So what I'm saying is not far-fetched. It's just the fact that, and the thing about it, it's not like the NBA is in their ear saying, say all this, say this, say this, say that. They're saying this stuff on their own. And my whole thing is, Reggie Miller would have never done this in his playing days, said that about LeBron James if he was playing against him. He would have never said half that stuff. Steve Kerr wouldn't have said half that stuff if he didn't. Charles Barkley definitely wouldn't have said half that stuff, except for Michael Jordan. He ran around kissing his behind for all his career, and that's why he never won a ring. So I'm just saying, these dudes, would, if they were playing, they wouldn't be slapping hands with him. They wouldn't be, you know, talking about how great he is. You wouldn't. So why do it now? So why play phony now? Because now you're in the seat, so now you got a job to do, so you're going to do it. But, you know, like I said, I've never seen, I mean, somebody send me something If anybody has any of their contracts from ESPN, please send it to me where it's listed in there where it says, please praise LeBron James. That is your contracted job, because it's not. I bet it's not. Okay?
So stop, man.
I'm sick and tired of hearing it. Anyway,
I know you are. I know where that
series is going. You know, Indiana will probably win their last game. What is that? Where do they play, tomorrow?
They're playing Indiana tomorrow, yes.
Right. So I won't see the game. I'll DVR it. But you know, I know they'll Indiana if Indiana wins their game tomorrow, that'll be the last game they win. They won't win another one. The NBA and the rest will make sure of it. And I'm just, you know, I know people don't like it, and people say, well, you're sour grapes, you hate LeBron. I don't hate LeBron. I keep telling you, is the guy one of the top players today? Yes, he is. Is he the greatest player on the planet? I haven't seen it. He's one of the great players in the NBA. To say he's the best player on the planet, I can't say that. You know, but, you know, as I said, let's wait until he gets to the end, and then let's look at the full body of work, and then let's say it. Because here's my thing. The one thing I know he will do is he'll have a lot of stats. Oh, man, he'll have stats. Record here, stat this, stat that. I'm telling you, dude will never touch Kobe's 5. He'll never touch Jordan's 6. I don't think he'll even rack up half the awards that these do. He'll have a whole bunch of MVPs because they keep giving that to him every year just to make him happy. You know, because to me, like I told you before, you know, I'm not a New York Knicks fan, and everybody who knows me knows that. But, you know, Melo probably should have been the MVP. I mean, that guy, for them to come
you
back.
You think so? You really think so?
But think about it. Think about here's what I'm trying to say.
Right.
Let me say it to you this way.
Okay.
It's most valuable player, okay?
Right.
If we're just going to say the most popular valuable player, you might as well give it to LeBron James every year. And we just don't have a vote. We just give it to him.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're talking about somebody who's valuable to their team, you could have gave that to Steph Curry. You could have gave that to Carmelo. You could have gave that to Ty Lawson. You could have gave that to a lot of guys who were very valuable for their team. Most valuable. That's what it is. It's not a popularity vote, which MVP has turned into.
And that has to do with probably every league MVP. I mean, you get an MVP in basketball, you get MVP in baseball, and it turns into some statistical plateau that you reach,
right.
Rather than what I assume, and I'm getting it the same way that you're putting it out, that it's the most valuable player to their team,
and it's who everybody likes.
Yeah, see, it shouldn't be.
You know,
I understand what you're saying. It shouldn't be like that.
Yeah, because it's like everybody now in the NBA is friends,
mm-hmm.
and I don't understand this culture. Like, I'm not saying you can't be friends off the court. I'm just saying, dude, when I'm in between the four lines, I'm not your friend. I'm trying to beat you.
Right.
But I'm just saying, as far as the MVP was concerned, LeBron, we could give it. I'm just saying, theoretically, we could give it to LeBron every year, if that's the case. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So let's
mm-hmm.
just take the votes out. Let's take all that out. Let's just hand it to him. If we're going to keep doing that, what I'm saying is, if you want to break it down by the reason why I say he should be Carmelo probably should have got it is because, or even Kevin should have got it. Kevin Durant should have got it. But these are people who took their teams to another level. But, I mean, the reason why I say Carmelo is because we know what the Knicks were, even last year. And to have the turnaround they did this year and get past the first round into the second round, you can't tell me Carmelo ain't had nothing to do with that. That was the biggest reason they had to do that. Think about it. Jason Kidd didn't show up at all in the playoffs. At all. And you had Carmelo who was balling out and put them on his back, and they had a better year. They made the playoffs and got to the second round. That's because of Carmelo. So to me, I think it should be based on who was the most valuable player that year. And I think, see, Miami wins all year. Their record, nobody on that team should have won MVP. They do that stuff all the time. They win every year. They're always number one or number two seed. It's not. That's what I'm saying. To me, you should recognize. It'd be one thing. Here's my thing. It'd be one thing if the teams that were in the running were winning teams. and they're all pretty much equal. Then, okay, I can see you going to, okay, well, who's the guy who, you know, really did the biggest bang, boom for his buck? You could give it to, I mean, like I said, he could get it every year. But if you're looking for the real valuable player, you look at who's done something extraordinary that they didn't do based on last year. I think that's the first thing you should look at. And when you look at New York, they did something. They had a great year. They had a very good year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And it wasn't because of – it was, and I think it was Carmelo. I mean,
well,
LeBron's going to do the same thing next year.
Yeah,
I mean,
it was
that's
obvious.
What I'm saying.
Yeah, it was obvious, especially in the last game the Knicks played against the Pacers, that who the most valuable player was on that team, because basically Carmelo was the offense, and the rest of the team really didn't show up for the last few games. So
and that's why I said he should have been it. Just like I thought the coach of the year should have been, you know, Mark Jackson.
Oh, absolutely, man. I totally agree with that. Mark Jackson. Man, I tell
you,
feeling,
you have the youngest team in basketball, and you go around, and you get not only make the playoffs, which you haven't done in years, and then you go to the second round, and then you get you lose in a game what? In game was it a game seven?
Was it game seven or game six?
It was either game six or seven, but either one. It wasn't like they just pooped out. They played their heart out. And I give him credit for that, because I don't know if anybody else could have taken. The only person I think, I'm going to be honest with you. The only person I know who probably could have took, there's only two people I think that could have took that team where they did this year. And that's probably a Mark Jackson or maybe a Popovich.
Yeah.
But I give Mark more credit. But I gave Mark more credit because Mark didn't have a pedigree, doesn't have the pedigree that Popovich has over the years. And he came in and did a job. You would have thought Mark Jackson been coaching for the last 20 years. You would have been thinking he's been coaching as long as Popovich, and you would think that the way Golden State played, you would think that that team has been around for years, like a veteran team, like the Spurs.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, they gave the Spurs all they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean,
sure
for me, he should have got it. But I know that the reason why they gave it to George Karl, that was a sympathy thing. Because he came back from the cancer and all that, so they figured, well, I just throw it to him, give it to him. You know, for me, he wasn't the most valuable. Denver had already had a winning record. Denver has already – that's why I said if they had given that to him in a year where everybody was even, I would have been cool with it. You see what I'm saying? So I guess what I'm saying is when a player on a team does something that they haven't done in a while or a long time, and it's basically on the shoulders of that one person, they should be in the running for MVP. It shouldn't, because they've done something. Where it's evident. It's not like, well, it's kind of close. No. The situation with Mark Jackson was extraordinary. That was something that just stood out like a sore thumb. The thing with Carmelo, that stuck out like a sore thumb. Anybody who was a Knicks fan would tell you they had a great year. There's no Knicks fans mad at their coach or mad at the team. Might be disappointed.
Well, to tell you the truth, I'm a Knicks fan, and what was said after the Indiana got rid of him, they weren't too happy. The Knicks fan, me, I think they had a good season. I said before that don't look past Indiana, because Indiana is a serious team, and they got some pieces. So I wasn't surprised to see the end result of the Knicks getting pushed out, because the fact is how well-rounded, and you can see it, how well-rounded a team Indiana is inside and outside. So, but there's a lot of fans who were expecting the Knicks to challenge the Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals. And
I'll
a little
be honest
pissed off
you.
About that.
I'll be honest with you. With what I've seen right now in this series so far, I think the Knicks would have got swept.
Yes, I agree.
I think
they
got swept. Because they weren't tough enough defensively as Indiana is. And they don't. And the thing about it is, they, even on nights when they had all, I mean, they're not just a one-guy thing. They're a four- or five-player team. And you got other guys, and the scary part about Indiana is that you have guys who you have guys on that team that are still up and coming.
Mm-hmm.
To be added to what you're talking about, Mahimi. You're talking about, what's the other boy's name? The young guy who was guarding LeBron? Stevenson. I mean,
yeah,
when
Lance
these guys get their...
Lance Stevenson.
Right. When their efforts, when their play catches up to them, they're going to be a problem. Stevenson's going to be a problem.
He's built like a running back, man. He's very solid and very athletic. So.
Yeah, because LeBron didn't have an easy time with him. He did.
No.
You know, he just didn't. And you know, like I said, you got an up and coming team in Indiana, and I think it's a great team. And I just think it's just, you know, like I said, it's just something you. It's just they're up and coming, but I just think. Looking at Indiana and how they fight and battle, it's a real battle of wills with those two. If that were, like I said, if that was New York got, because you got to remember, they got, even if they got past that, it would have been a sweep, because basically the only two people that were playing on that team was the center, what's his name, Tyson Chandler, and
mm-hmm.
and Mello. The rest were like non-apparent. I mean, J.R. Smith was like MIA at certain times of the game, but I just don't understand how that guy is so good, but yet he still keeps making the same stupid mistakes. I've just never understood that. But, you know, be that as it may, you know, that's my rant, you know, on that. But I just, like I said, I think what's going to end up happening is going to be Heat Spurs. And I predict the Spurs will win. And I tell you why. I'll back that up. They've already had trouble with my man. What's his name? The center.
Oh yeah, man. I you know, before you even
what
say
you
it,
gonna
I'm
do,
totally
what
agree.
Are you gonna do?
Roy
right. What are you gonna do with Duncan? Right. What are you gonna do
right,
with Duncan?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Who's more polished and who's a better, who's a more mobile, can hit the shot and do more with himself? Who really is playing center at a center forward position?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can put the ball on the floor and go to the basket. Can shoot and do all that. Then you got to remember this. You have two, they got at least two to three people to throw at LeBron,
mm-hmm.
and at Bosch in Splitter, and the other one who can shoot from the outside. They got enough big bodies to throw at LeBron. Whereas, see, right now, if you get David West in foul trouble, he's done. They're pretty much in trouble. If you get, because Hill can't guard LeBron worth nothing. And if I were Vogel, I wouldn't put Paul George on LeBron ever again the rest of this series. I would have Lance Stevenson on.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would have, because he's hungry. This guy Paul George, you know, it shows me the deficiencies in the NBA, like rebounding, like proper defensive stance. You don't play a guy to one side and let him spin off you. I mean, that's why you have a wide stance and you're ready to go either left or right. You don't give a guy a stance one side.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But to me, I mean, and to be honest with you, the only thing that's really helped LeBron and them in this series is the fact that I don't like Indiana's guards are okay, but I just don't think they got enough. How should I say it? They don't have enough toughness. They're soft. I think Hill is soft. I mean, he's not aggressive. He dribbles the ball too doggone much. You need somebody with some swagger that'll go up in there. That's why I like guys like a guy like Nate Robinson. You know, somebody who'll go to the basket and isn't afraid to fail. And I think Hill sometimes is afraid to fail. And I just see the way sometimes he does things, and I'm just like, come on, man. You know, the turnovers or the things they make, I'm just like, come on, guys. So for me, I just think Parker's going to give – he's going to give Norris Cole and whoever else at Dwayne Wade fits. I just think he's going to give him fits, and he's going to cause him problems. We haven't even talked about Ginobili. We haven't even – You know, I just like I said, they got a complete team, and the thing about it is, here's the biggest thing, they've had a whole week to prepare for this, a lot of time to prepare for this. And here's the thing, even if the Heat ended it tomorrow, they still got to the sixth. They still got to the sixth, and we ain't even talk about the first thing until tomorrow. So we're talking about they've had so much time to prepare and rest. That's going to be a problem for the Heat.
And
I just see it. What'd
Mac,
say?
We got Mikal that wants to chime in.
Bring Mikal on.
Come on, Mikal.
What's happening, bro? What's happening?
What's up? I thought about the NBA.
Happy summer to you.
Happy summer to you too, Slim.
Hot weather, man. I'm glad. I'm tired of this fluky back and forth.
Yeah.
Finally staying hot. But anyway, go ahead. Tell me what you got to say, man. What's your opinion on the potential? What's going on now, or the matchup?
I like the whole thing. You know what I mean? You're getting to see LeBron grow up. It's like he's grown. He don't start growing up until he, you know, till he's put up against the wall and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
That last game. He should have been playing like that from the get go. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
But the cat got out the bag that it was Juwan Howard that was getting in their ass. So it really wasn't. He was really parroting what Juwan said. And see, and that's the thing with LeBron, man. That's like the inch or 2 inches that he has not gone across. And I'm like, dude, will you walk across that threshold? All he gotta do is stand up and go over there.
But Mikal, you know what the problem is with LeBron though? Everything has been handed to LeBron. LeBron just now starting to earn things where it's like, okay, you gotta do it because remember, he was a high school phenom, they did everything for him. My wife is from Cleveland, so she knows him and knows his family. And I'm saying he had everything handed to him. That's why I said what I said a few weeks ago about AAU, and I don't like AAU because it to me I think it does too much damage to kids, and it does too much
well,
and all this you know stuff like that. That's just my
well,
opinion.
It's deeper than that. It's
no, you're
deeper
right.
It's deeper than that. It's about him becoming a man. That's all
right.
It's about.
Right.
That's it to the core. You know
right.
what I'm saying? And. A lot of these dudes, you know, they don't have the tools or they're not equipped to, you know, to do this, you know, to do it. You know, they don't
right.
know how. You know
right.
what I'm saying? And then they so arrogant or so, you know, into what everybody else is saying about them
right.
that they don't look for the help. You know, I was so proud of him when he was working with Akeem Olajuwon. I was like, oh, okay, here we go. Here we go.
Right.
We doing it.
Right.
You know? But I think he need to spend some time with a dude like a Jordan or somebody like that that could just teach him that eye of the tiger because he just it's like it come on when he is all the way up against the ropes and has no option. And I feel like it should be like that all the time.
But let me say this to you just so. I mean, this is an example because I know a lot of people are like, oh, man, you hate LeBron. I said, no, it ain't. I just call it what it is. I said, but here's what I'll give to you. In defense of him, most people, and this is the truth, most champions who win in the NBA, the year after is the hardest one because the team begins to think, and think about their record this year. You begin to think, and I think he's not the only one. I think Dwayne Wade does it. I think all of them do it. You get to a point where you get bored or you think you're going to cruise through this and, oh, man, we just push on the gas a little bit, we'll get it. And then what happens is, what always happens in Miami, what happens to all teams? They get punched in the mouth one good night, and then they go, you know what, next game we're going to come back. They get mad and they do it. But you're right. I haven't seen a consistent team. To be honest with you, the most consistent team I've seen, just in my opinion, is the Spurs. Now, they haven't won in a while, but they're very consistent every night. Like, Pop don't have to do much. Like, let me tell you something. What coach do you know can sit his whole starting five down in the middle of a game and say, look, y'all not doing what you're supposed to. Sit them there, put them back in, and they respond. That's what I'm saying. If you notice, Pop don't go yelling at them. He does, but I'm just saying, you can tell he don't have to because they look dead at him, they hear him. They do it. What I'm saying is you got to remember something. You know, that was Spoelstra's first year last year. I don't think they're still convinced about him. I think they tolerate him, and he's cool and all. Don't get me wrong. He has a good system. But I just think it's that. And then I think it's the fact that they're like every other champ. I mean, when Detroit won it, they thought they could turn it on and off. They went through the same thing LeBron and them did. Even back when Isaiah and them were playing, they won the one in 89. 90 was hard as hell because they was just like, okay, we're going to turn it on. It's me. Because the long season, you get bored. Then when you have a great year like they did and only lose 16 games, I mean, what do you do? Then you go, okay, you know, we're going to go ahead. When you look at their record, I mean, you just get a fall. It's fool, like you said, it's fool's gold. It's just human nature. You think you can cruise. You can turn it on and turn it off when you want. And you're right. They shouldn't be in basketball. I can agree with you 100%. You need to have hungry. You need to be hungry every night. But like I said, when things are handed to you and given to you, and you have everybody saying your name and adulating over you and think you're the greatest thing, that encourages you too. You like that. So guess what they do? Like you said, they worry about what everybody's saying about them. Do they like me? Do they not? Are they gonna? You know, that's all they want, the adulation. And the thing is, old time basketball players didn't care about that stuff. It was like, all I care about is winning. Everybody in the world can hate me. Good. But I'm gonna beat these dudes in between these four lines every night because I ain't trying to lose, you know. And that's why I admire guys like a Jordan or guys like a Magic Johnson, or wait a minute, who was friends with Isaiah Thomas but took it to him just like anybody else. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just saying, I think these guys just need to toughen up. I think they need to realize that, you know. And I think to the Heat, you know, that's why I think it's detrimental to the fact that these refs call these crazy calls for them, and they do all this stupid stuff they do for them, and the NBA, you know, is pushing this whole thing. I'm going to just say what it is. I think sometimes they cheat for them because they want to see them in there for the ratings or whatever. But here's my problem. But the problem is, what they don't understand is, when you do that, you get players and you get a team that thinks that they can just cruise through it. And then when somebody punches in the mouth, they go, what's going on? Where is this coming from? I mean, like the other night with LeBron going out the game, wasn't nothing impressive about that. It was funny. But it wasn't nothing impressive about it because with what, 16 seconds left, you put him out the game with seconds left, the game was already won. There was nothing LeBron could have done unless he could score, what, 6 to 8 points in under, you know, a minute. That wasn't going to happen. So putting him out didn't mean anything to me. I was just like, that's just...
Well, they were only down by two when they put him out the game.
No. He had just tied the game up. Go back and watch it. No, they didn't.
No, you go
that
back
game,
and watch it.
No, they were up by more than two.
LeBron had tied that game up.
I'm telling you.
When he got put out of the game, it was no more than 2 or 3 points, Mac.
It was about six to eight. I'm telling you.
Nah, it wasn't.
Because they had just went on that run. LeBron got the ball, and when he did it,
no, it was not 6 to 8. It was like two. It was between 2 to 3, no more than 4, and it went up to 6 after that inbound, and they scored. That's when it got to be 6, and the game was totally out of hand then.
Okay.
But
all right.
But
I
don't necessarily agree with everything that you said.
I know that.
You know what I mean? I think that LeBron and them, I think they're a good team. I mean, and I think they do get it. It's just that they just feed off of LeBron, and LeBron has not learned that yet. He hasn't learned that yet. He hasn't learned the difference between he has to put the game on his shoulders or feed his teammates. I don't think he's learned the difference, and that's what's pissing me off about him, because it's very simple. You know what I mean? It's very simple.
Well, let me ask you this. Who do you have winning when they go to the next round? Because I already know Indiana might win tomorrow, but if they win tomorrow, win or lose, that's their last one. That's it. So I'm saying to you, who do you say, if it goes next round, who do you have winning and why?
In between the Heat and the Spurs?
Yep.
I don't know. I think it's going to be a very good heavyweight fight. I mean, you have a natural Ali versus Foreman. I mean, Ali versus Frazier type of thing going on with the Spurs and the Heat. Mm-hmm. The Heat, LeBron will be on some get back with the Spurs, because you know the Spurs tossed him out years ago again when he was with Cleveland, and. I think the way that they run, you know, with the small ball and stuff like that, I think it's gonna pose a lot more problems than people think with the Spurs. But the Spurs are very experienced, you know what I'm saying, and they'll will adjust and they will do what they have to do. and they will make it again. But it's still going to be hinged upon LeBron. It's going to be LeBron because the Spurs don't have that type of talent on their team. They don't. They got talent. They got some very good talent, and they're very well coached, and they're very much consistent. I agree with you, but they don't have the dude. They don't have that dude. Miami has that dude. They got a good coach, not better than the Spurs. They got a good team, not better than the Spurs, but have the best player on the planet. They have the best player on the planet that has a mental and heart problem, and that is the issue. If he comes in there, mind and heart, Spurs will lose. If he come in there and he's still trying to figure it out, and they going back and forth, it's gonna go seven, and it could go either way.
Shut up. I'm sorry, not you. I was talking about the whole department. My bad. My dog was barking and saying, I realized when I said it, I was like, oh, shoot, I said it in the brain. I'm so used to saying it. I said, shoot, I ain't even realized. This fool, man, that's why I'm probably thinking, like, what the heck you tell me to shut up for? Mikhail's about to get break out his fangs. God dang it, you. Like, what are you talking about? It's my fault, Mikhail. My problem. My bad. But, no, you're absolutely right, man. I mean, you're absolutely right. I agree with that, but I do agree that. But it's been my experience that five guys who play well as a unit can beat one guy because one guy can't defend all. I'll go by matchups.
No, we don't
Tony
have
Parker,
to go by matchups.
Ain't nobody gonna stop.
We don't.
Ain't nobody. Their guards can't stop Tony Parker. Let's go ahead with that now.
We don't have to go matchup.
Okay.
You missed what I said.
I heard
The Spurs are a good team and well-coached team. Better coach.
They're not a great team?
And they have a better team.
They're not a great team? You use the word good, so I'm just saying. You use the word good, I'm saying.
They're exceptionally good. I wouldn't go so far as to say that they're great.
So you're telling me that a team that's won four – wait a minute. A team that's won four championships since Duncan's been there, you're telling me with Ginobili and Parker having what, one or two of those? I'm saying you're telling me they won four chips in a 10-year span, and you're telling me they're not great?
No, they're not.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm done.
They are an exceptionally good team.
Okay.
They're extremely well coached, and they play the game the way it's supposed to be played. But
you know what? 20 years from now, we're gonna say they are the most
different
ever.
And here's the difference between them and Miami. Miami is a good team. They are a good team.
They're not a great team.
But no, they're not a great team. They are a good team. They're not as good as the Spurs. But the difference between them and the Spurs is that they have the best player on the planet. They have that exceptional player that can propel them past them. The Spurs don't have that dude. They don't have.
Okay.
They don't have.
All right. I've been coaching a long time, and all I can say is this. All I can say is, if you believe that, that's fine. But I'm just telling you, I've seen too many teams that got that dude, and then they run into a team like them, the boring fundamental dudes that's just a good team, and then when they beat them, everybody goes, "Well, how the hell did that happen?" I'm like, because the five. Like I've always said, like Jerry has heard me say this. Jerry, I can take five dudes that can't shoot a damn lick, and if those five guys play defense, tough on a hard-nosed defense, and play against somebody, you can beat any team. I don't care how talented they are. I don't care how many guys they got. That dude,
defense will win games,
and those guys can play defense.
That's where I fundamentally disagree with you. And I see kind of like there's a flaw in your coaching. Because I've heard talk about
defense
wins
championships. Defense wins championships.
Hold on.
Offense don't win championships. Defense wins championships.
Hold on. You don't get to pick the part where I'm disagreeing with you at, bro.
That's fine.
I'm not disagreeing with you on defense. It is your show, but you're gonna
okay. I'm picking
yourself.
It.
If you don't, you can make a fool out yourself if you don't know where I'm disagreeing with you at.
That's based on your opinion, Mikhail.
No, you pick the defense.
I did because I made the statement.
But that's not what I'm talking about.
Okay, but that's what I was talking about. In response to what you said.
But that's not where I disagree with you at.
Okay, we'll say where you disagree, but it doesn't matter. That was my opinion. I was taught.
So what is your disagreement? That is your opinion.
What is your disagreement?
You stated it as a rebuttal to what I said. That's not the part that you need to
I just said you can have that based on the fact that you said you can have a good team. We're better team than other people. This is what you said. You can have a better team than everybody else. You can have a better team than the other team. You can have a better coach than the other two. But if you got that dude, you can't win. That's basically what you just said.
What I said, no, that's not what I said. That's your interpretation of what I said. You know, and basically, where I was going with what I said before you totally threw all that other stuff in the game.
Yeah, I had a monkey wrench.
I can see there's a fundamental flaw in how you coach and how you construct teams, right?
Your opinion.
You have a right to spew it. It's very much my opinion. But just remember this.
Mikhail, before you say that, wait a minute, I have not gone five years without winning a championship. So before you say that, I don't have a flaw.
I don't have a flaw. I got mine. I don't have a flaw. I have six championships as a coach. I don't have a flaw. And you can keep those championships. I don't have a flaw, Mikhail. I don't have a flaw.
I'm not going to let you step on my show and tell me I have a flaw. I don't have a flaw.
I don't have a flaw.
We'll just keep doing this for the rest until 8 o'clock. I don't have a flaw. Anyway, I have another topic. My next topic is the NBA just suspended Anderson for Game 6. They just suspended him for Game 6. So, Anderson, Pigeon Man, sit your ass down. Anyway, as I was saying before, Anderson should have been out of it, and that's all I got to say about that. On to the next one. Tiger Woods is down. He has made the cut, but he trails the guy by ten strokes. So this is a tune up to the next golf outing. I think that's in 2 weeks. Is it two weeks, Jerry?
Yeah, probably so. Yeah.
It's like 2 weeks. There's a major, so mm-hmm. This is tune up. So
yes,
right. Okay. So I think Woods won't win this unless he makes a crazy move on Saturday. But as far as in the next 2 weeks, I think he will win that tournament. I don't know why, but I just had this feeling he will. But you know, he could do some crazy stuff. I meant to say this also. I don't know if either one of you remembers Mookie Blaylock.
Yes, I do. Absolutely, from Michigan.
Did you hear the news on him?
Well, he was in jail. I know that.
No, he's in critical on life support after a car crash.
What?
Yeah. Police say former All-Star guard Darren Mookie Blaylock is on life support after a car crash in suburban Atlanta. Clayton County Police spokesman Clarence Cox says Blaylock, was driving in Jonesboro on Friday when his SUV crossed the center line and hit a van head-on. Cox says Blaylock was airlifted to Atlanta Medical Center where he was in critical condition Friday night. Cox says the man and woman riding in the van were also taken to the medical center. Their names and conditions are not immediately available. And the 46-year-old Blaylock was a first-round draft pick of New Jersey Nets. So,
Right. Prayers
go out to Mookie Blaylock, man. I just kind of came up on my little update here, but Mookie Blaylock was a really good player in the NBA.
And he, if I'm not mistaken, he did serve some jail time for.
No, you were right.
Yeah.
No, you were right. You're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you guys' opinion about this, I guess, as we go out. But what did you think of Jerry and Mikal of the Clippers firing Vinny Del Negro? And do you think it was Chris Paul or do you think it was the Clippers who did it on their own?
Wow, that's tough. I mean, everybody knows that the NBA is a players' league. It's a players' league. And this is not the first time that there's been rumors that a star player on the team has gotten a coach fired. Chris Paul, I understand when I heard today that he's a little pissed off at the Clippers because, for the most part, I guess the Clippers didn't dispute the fact that it was Chris Paul who helped get Vinny Del Negro fired. And he's vehemently denies that. The Negro is the type of coach, in my opinion, that can take you but so far. He doesn't have the pedigree like a Popovich or some of these other big name coaches that done some in the league. And I guess he lost the ear of the star players, and when you do that, you really don't have the team. So,
wow, Mikal,
we talk about the Clippers. I don't think
something is wrong with him, man. Oh my God!
I don't think that Chris Paul had anything to do with it. We talking about the Clippers. They did.
Not practice.
And my theory is still holding. Chris Paul will not sign with the Los Angeles Clippers. It won't happen.
Is he up for? Yeah, he's up. It just says right here he becomes an unrestricted free agent on July. Man.
Yep. He is not re-signing with them.
Wow.
Yeah. It's all the more reason for him not to resign with him because they are pretty much
the owner pretty much pushed
Chris Paul out in the front of the reason Vinny Del Negro is not the coach anymore. So
Bad move. Because even if he did it,
I mean, you're supposed to protect your player.
Oh, absolutely.
Even if you lie, you're supposed to protect your star player and say, nah, he ain't do it. Because right now, the report on ESPN is that they responded today and said that it was a management decision. It was their decision. It had nothing to do with Chris Paul. But I'm like, that's a little too late. I mean, unless they pull him in the office and talk to him or somehow make amends, I can say this, it better be a hell of a contract if he even listens to him. But I do think that Mikal is right that he won't sign. He won't sign with the Clippers. That's too bad because they have something special going there. I mean, you get them another year or two, they're a problem. I mean, honestly, they're very talented. But go ahead. What were you saying?
Nah, you talking about the Clippers?
Yeah, but you know what? To me, I just thought he was a good fit for them because. It wasn't like they totally sucked or like they were just – I mean, this is probably the best year the Clippers out. Man, you don't never hear Clippers in playoffs, ever. I don't know how long it's been since we heard Clippers in playoffs. And they have a truly talented team, And I'm like, man,
like, that was constructed by the NBA, by the commission.
Truly a true talented team that likes to look at their press clippings.
Yeah.
And in my opinion.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Do you think that had to do with their coach, because the coach generally handles the atmosphere. Teams take on the attitude of their coach.
Mm-hmm.
And generally the atmosphere is done by, you know, not saying managers have anything to do with it, but the coach that they're there with every day is the one who pretty much has that. So do you think that had something to do with him being fired or what? Because to me, looking at the record and looking at what they did this year, I didn't think Vinny Del Negro should have been fired. That's just me. That's
really?
Just me. No, because they made it to the playoffs. They hadn't been in the playoffs how long?
Yeah, let me put it this way, Mac. They made it to the playoffs on sheer talent. Okay?
Okay.
On sheer sheer talent.
Right.
And right. It's obvious that talent, once you get into the playoffs, you got to have a little bit more than just sheer talent. And they got exposed in the playoffs.
Yeah, they did. They did. Well, they were never a defensive team, though. That was, I think, the biggest problem. You know, like I said, like Larry Drew just got the job. I found out today Larry Drew got the head job at Milwaukee. And I put on Facebook, I was like, how long are we going to keep these same retread coaches around? And maybe I'm wrong, maybe you and Mikhail can shed light on it, but why is it that in the NBA, the NFL, maybe just those two leagues, why is it that the same retread coaches go from team to team to team to team and the results never really that much change? I don't understand that. Like, I understand, like, if you come in and you're just getting in, like your first 3 years in, okay, you're trying to get your bearings, you know, you maybe came from college, whatever, that's cool. We talking about guys who've been around like 10 years.
Right.
Either assistant or in a head coaching position, many, many head coaching positions, and yet they keep getting hired by these players thinking like, okay, this will be the time it'll all change. And I'm just like, no, they're still terrible. They're not gonna win. Like with Vinny, I didn't understand because Vinny wasn't a lifelong coach, he was a player. So I just thought he wouldn't go out because I was thinking like, okay, you give him another year under his belt to see if things change or whatever. You bring him in, you talk to him, say, hey, man, we need a better culture. We don't need people like the press conference. You need to push on the gas, do this, do that. And, you know, that's just me. So, I mean, maybe you guys see it different, but I know we're talking about the Clippers, but I'm really talking about, like, why do these coaches just keep getting these multiple chances? Like, when do we go to college and just get the upstart guy, the guy who, you know, it's just weird to me. It's just weird to me. It's like, you know.
Well, these coaches, just like in the NFL, and I wouldn't say as much in baseball because baseball seems like
exactly.
They get a bigger turnover in head coaches or managers. But two sports, basketball and football, seem like they retread a lot of these coaches over and over again. And it's because of maybe these guys have great interview skills. Maybe they're tied into the network. So even though they didn't work out in one place, the organization in another place decided to try him out because he's been a, in quotation marks, a good guy. So I don't know. I don't know. I totally agree. You know,
like
the
Mike Brown thing still throws me for a loop. I'm just like, really? Like, how is this experiment going to last? How long is this experiment going to last?
I don't know why it throws you for a loop. It's the same. The problem isn't just the coaches. It's the management. You know, the management is the problem because the management. Because the management in basketball, you must have productive players. You got to get the productive players. It doesn't matter what coach you have. You know what I'm saying? You have to have the productive players.
So you're talking about general managers,
right? Then you have to have the good coach to manage those productive players.
Right.
If you don't have the productive players, you know what I'm saying? If you're not good at picking productive players, then you're not good at picking your coaches. So it really don't matter. And then they're gonna keep getting the people in there, you know what I'm saying, that's part of their network, that can keep that can facilitate whatever propaganda, whatever they trying to go through down there. I mean, we watch this. We watch this crap go on down here and with the buses. I can't stand them dudes, man. I want to go down. I swear, I want to go to the Rat Center. Everybody down there that got on a staff uniform for the Wizards, man. The only when I stopped respecting them is when Abe Poland died, man. Because Abe Poland was a true Washingtonian, you know what I mean? And he was worthy of that respect. So, you know, I give it to him, you know what I'm saying? Even
right.
if they was and whatever he was doing, it was Abe. You know, who you going? That's like your old uncle or your old grandpa. Man, you can't get mad at them. Let him go ahead and do his thing, man. But now, man, they a joke. They is a joke. They is a joke. And they constantly doing the same thing over again. And, team that we were talking about, the Clippers, they worse than the Wizards. Believe
nah,
that.
Nah, I don't think they worse
yes,
than
the Wizards. Yes, they are. I'm trying to tell you, Slim. Why?
They made the playoffs.
Why?
The Wizards ain't even
Why?
Sniffing that joint.
What are you talking about? When Wizards made the playoffs before? I mean, it's just
No. I'm saying this year. I'm just talking about based on now. I ain't talking
about
history.
You talk about now. What I'm telling you, it's a cycle, man. It's a cycle. The only reason Chris Paul was there was because of the commissioner. You know what I'm saying? That whole team is a mess waiting to happen.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, you forgot about that.
Yeah, I forgot about that. He was forced there because he was supposed to go where? L.A.?
He
was supposed to go to L.A.
He was going to L.A.
Right.
Why you think that boy got a whole bunch of endorsement deals and all that kind of kernel and a whole bunch of puff just to keep him quiet?
Well, you know where my man getting ready to go then.
I don't know where he's gonna go. I mean,
he might go to Los Angeles. Cause homeboy ain't working out.
Yeah, I mean, I got
Steve Nash is terrible, man.
I got faith in Kupchak. I trust Bush Jr. I just don't know what's up with his head. You know what I'm saying? And after Kobe leave, if they don't construct some type of nucleus there, you know, I might have to hang up my Lakers jersey and call it a day on that one too.
Well, let me make you feel a little bit better, because here's my prediction. My prediction is after next year's playoffs and Chip, I think what's going to happen is Kobe's going to leave after next year because that's the last year of his contract. And Jerry knows what I'm going to say. LeBron opts out and goes to L.A., gets paid all the money he should have gotten paid, and is the face of the franchise. That's really what happened.
Nah.
He has an out next year.
Nah, I don't see that. You don't have you don't have Bush Senior out there, man. You right now you watching the Lakers about to go into a free for all. It is imperative what happens this summer. You know what I'm saying? If Bush Junior get his head right and run that team the way it's supposed to be run, they're free with you. You know what I'm saying?
I agree with you.
If Bush Senior was alive, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Right.
That's within the realm of possibility because that's how Bush Senior get down. But Bush Junior don't get down.
I do agree with you. If they don't get a good team, if he doesn't construct something there to lure LeBron, yes. Because he's going to be at – but here's what I'm saying. I can't understand anybody, unless this guy's mentally retarded, which you might say he is, I can't see how LeBron comes up on a time frame where he can opt out, Kobe's leaving, which, of course, both are going to be presented. So it's not like somebody says, oh, shoot, I forgot. I could opt out this year. So they're going to know. You know, L.A.'s going to know. So I'm just saying it's a logical thing, but I do agree with you that it all depends on what he does this year as far as constructing a potential juggernaut team, good team, which, you know, and then what happens that summer, too. Because that all happens.
One minute.
So he basically has this summer and next summer to get it done.
We got 1 minute.
I agree with you. Huh?
We got 1 minute.
Okay. So he's just got to construct it. So I agree with Mikhail on that one. You know, you can't just – I'm not going to say he just blindly do it, but he got to have something there You know, but I thought if at least he had Dwight Howard there, which I don't know if you'll lock him up, if he had Dwight Howard there, that would be enough to have those two there, and then you'd have all of this summer to build more, and then next summer after LeBron gets ready to opt out to grab some more players, and possibly he opt out and come over. So I'm still predicting that, but you're right. It does depend on the team, what's there. So I agree with that. All right. Well, we have 1 minute left. I'm going to get off of here. Next week, we will have the CEO of Ball Up Incorporated on the show next week as our special guest. They just got back, him and Baby Shaq, from China after destroying the Chinese people out there. They came back. And I will have him on next week. He has agreed to appear, we're going to have him on. And my thanks to Mikhail for showing up again. Love him like a brother, but, you know, sometimes he throws popcorn and soda and on me, and, you know, I have to, you know, try to put him in timeout, but that's my dog, man. I roll with him any day of the week. I wouldn't stick him on my worst friend, on my worst enemy. That boy can get down. But I thank him for coming on the show every week, because one thing I will say about Mikhail, he does challenge me.
Sure, yeah.
And thanks, Jerry, for always being there every week.
Not a problem.
These are our topics. These are what we talked about. We'll have more next week, I'm pretty sure. And that is it. So until next week, we'll see you, and I am out.